Now, new rules forcing companies to disclose their owners are shortly due to come into effect. It's going to mean a big change for a lot of firms and potential penalties if they don't comply. Well, joining me now for more on this is Catherine Falvey, who is a senior manager in the company secretarial department at Crowe. Catherine, why are these rules being brought in?
Essentially, they're being brought in to bring about greater transparency about the ownership and control of Irish companies. And they're derived from EU directives, the first of which was brought into effect in 2016. And that directive put an obligation on Irish companies to ascertain who their beneficial owners are and to put an internal register in place. And then those regulations were updated just earlier this year in March with the 2019 version, which replaced and updated what was already in effect and imposed a further obligation on companies now to make a filing to a central register of beneficial ownership.
Yeah, now it's a very interesting area, this, because I remember when I started out in journalism, I didn't actually realise that, you know, companies have to file their accounts to, or, you know, if they're a limited liability company, they just kind of file accounts to the CRO, and then you can actually go to the CRO and get a copy of those accounts if you want. Any punter can.
Correct.
And that means that you could, you know, look up the accounts for your neighbour's company, for example. If you're kind of a bit snoopy, this might be something that you'd find a lot of fun. So I'm interested in discussing with you some of the reasons why companies might not want to disclose who their owners actually are.
Yes, and oftentimes it can, you know, if you hear that somebody is not disclosing their ownership of a company, you might think it's for something underhand. But it could be as simple as, you know, people might have sensitivity or privacy issues. They may not want the extent of their business interest to be known in the public domain, particularly perhaps if there's wealth involved and somebody has a young family. Then for security issues, they mightn't want to know that. But also in Crowe, we would see a number of commercial or practical reasons why people would do
like
this.
What?
So one example would be companies would offer shares to their employees as an incentive. So they operate a share incentive scheme. And this is something that is approved by revenue. But one of the conditions of the scheme is that the shares must be held by a nominee for the employee as the beneficial owner for a set period of time. So that's something that's derived from taxation legislation, whereby the employee being the owners of the shares, they're not disclosed on the register.
Now, obviously, they've decided that, look, we're not going to facilitate this kind of thing anymore. We want transparency. We want to know who owns the companies. Just tell me, though, which companies have to comply with these rules? Is it every company or are there some exceptions? How does it work?
It's most companies. Really, the only entities that are exempted from this would be publicly listed companies, because they're subject to stringent rules anyway around disclosures. So, you know, it would be all private limited companies. So that, you know, you're talking approximately 200,000 companies that are registered with the Companies Registration Office that are caught by this legislation.
So what's your advice to businesses who are trying to get ready for this?
Well, the first thing I would note is that there's a deadline on this, so that will expire on the 22nd of November of this year, and it's this time now that companies have to, you know, take steps to look at their shareholding structures, to identify who their beneficial owners are, and to put the necessary registers in place and make sure then that they can make the filing to this central register in advance of the 22nd of November.
And what are the penalties if you don't do it?
Yeah, so there's sanctions that will range, there's fines that will range from €5,000 up to a maximum of €500,000. And there's also a provision there for a prison sentence of up to a year.
Wow.
Obviously, depending on the severity of whatever the breach may be, or if something was done that allowed a fraud or something like that to occur, obviously that's the higher end of the scale.
In dealing with people in your practice, Catherine, how would you assess people's readiness for this thing?
I would say to date, it has been a slow take up. And I think that's just the nature of these things. And I would anticipate the closer it gets to the deadline, the more it will focus people, to actually get ready for this and get their house in order. The only thing I would say to people is that, you know, the deadline falls the end of November. It's a very busy time for company secretarial practitioners. We're just coming off the back of a big income tax deadline at that time of the year as well. So I would say to people to look at this now when it's maybe a quieter time, and to be able to say that they've done everything that they need to do well in advance.
Yeah, I'm a terrible last minute merchant, I have to say. I always admire these people who manage to get these things done well in advance. Well, listen, thanks very much for that, Catherine. That's very interesting and definitely something I think that has flown a bit below the radar, but is going to have consequences for a lot of Irish businesses. That's Catherine Falvey, who is a senior manager at the company secretarial department at Crowe.